open up a word of prayer. Father, we commit this semester into your hands, Lord Jesus. Lord God, this is a time of instruction and challenge on our lives, Lord, and we're asking you, O God, to give us also the basics in evangelism that we may be able to reach out properly, O God, to souls around this world. Lord, in our nation, O God, in our state, in our city, in our community, our neighbor, Lord, those around about us. Father, I ask you, O God, your anointing to be upon us and upon this class, that we'd be able to find your heart, O God, and to buy thy heart, Lord Jesus, to obtain your heart, Jesus, and be able to give it out to others. Lord Jesus, that we may be able to shed forth the word of life, not just ourselves, Lord, but you. We might be able to give them life, eternal life. We might be able to give them the love that you have towards them, not just our own understanding, our own mind, O God. Teach us to be proper evangelists, Lord, personal evangelists that will manifest the love of Jesus in the heart of Jesus and bringing forth the words of Jesus with all of your heart. Oh God, help us, Lord, during this time, Jesus. Truly fashion and form us that we might come out more equipped, better equipped, humbler, more in love and more knowledgeable, Lord, of thy truth. Lord God, that we might do the will of God in this thing. Precious Lord, we love you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate you taking the class because it shows your heart. It shows your desire to win souls, desire to be an effective evangelist. And that's what we're here for. You know, we're here to love Jesus. But, you know, as you love Jesus, it's going to flow out to others. And don't get me wrong in saying that we are here to win souls, and that's the only reason we're on earth. That's not true. It just isn't true. But it will be the outflow when you are doing what Jesus wants you to do here on earth. You are here on earth to glorify Him, to magnify Him, to love Him, to be in fellowship with Him. You have all eternity to be in intimate fellowship with Him. But it begins now. It begins now. And now is the training period as to decide whether you will have fellowship with Him forever. And so, and that's an important time. And you'll win more souls the more fellowship you have with God. And so keep first things first, and that is your fellowship and intimacy with God. But as you are in fellowship and intimate with Him, you will win more souls. Okay. So, I want this class to be a blessing. Now, before we begin, let me give you a list of some of the assignments. Some of the assignments. Some of these you have to do on your own. And some of them I'm not even going to check up on. Some of them I'm not even going to check up on. But I want you to take down this list. And these are not hard. And some of you probably already done some of these that I'm going to mention. Number one, I want you all to have that Bible insert. It's called the Scripture Reference Insert. The Scripture Reference Insert. I want you all to have that. And I'd like you, and you can get them from the bookstore here, and it's been put out by our church, and I want you to familiarize yourself with it. Get to know everything in it. I don't mean memorize the scriptures. I just mean know what things are addressed. Know what types of things you can find in there. You know, Godhead, baptism, Holy Spirit, salvation, some of the excuses people make, other things. Get to know, familiarize yourself with it. We'll probably use it later in the semester. And I would suggest you put it in a Bible that you would normally take with you witnessing. A Bible that you would normally have with you. That's the first thing. Secondly, there will be a set of tracts, four of them I think, and I want you all to read those four tracts. Thirdly, Pastor, I want you to listen to two tapes. And the title of these tapes is Witnessing on the Job. Witnessing on the Job. Excellent. Excellent by our pastor. Really well done. Fourthly, I want you all to read Balance Number 2. Now, some of you possibly already have. In fact, most of you probably already have. Balance Number 2. This is the one that deals with the cult issue. And in witnessing, believe me, you need that information. The next thing, I guess it's number 5, the fifth thing I want you to do is during this semester, at least once, I want you to witness with a witnessing team. I want you to go witnessing with a witnessing team. And when you go, I want you to turn in a sheet on how it went, what you did, you know, just a basic summary of your experience. A basic summary of your experience. Also, there's one more assignment that I'm going to have you do this semester, and that is you're going to witness to an unsaved person. And I'd like you to wait until more towards the end of the semester to do it, because I want you to get some more information down. I want you to get some more material down. At that time, I'm going to actually give you a form to fill out. And it will show on there how it went, what you did, what your approach was, what their response was, and the date and the name and so forth. And that will be to somebody who's unsaved that you hadn't witnessed to before. So that will be that situation. So everybody at least gets a tootsie toe in the water. And to some, that's no problem. You're witnessing all the time anyway. To others, it might be a super new experience. And you'll live through it. You won't die. Nobody's gotten killed yet. Except a little bit of the flesh maybe die. But that's all. But we'll have that experience. So that's the basic assignments. Now, notice they're not really heavy assignments. Some of them are really quite easy. Some of them you've probably already done. And so it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. But those are the things that I want you to take care of during the semester. As far as evangelism. Okay, I also want to give you a list of suggested reading and suggested listening. And all of these things I am not, you know, demanding. But this is suggested. If you want to enhance your witnessing capability, I would suggest these things. Number one, there's a little pamphlet called The Soul Winner's Guide. It's out on the counter. You can buy it. And it's more thorough than the Bible insert that you're going to buy. The Soul Winner's Guide goes through all kinds of different objections that people bring up. And you answer those objections there in that Soul Winner's Guide. It gives you the scriptures and how to answer it. So that's a good one. The second one is also quite good. I've never really used this one, but it's the Vest Pocket Companion by R.A. Torrey. And it's basically the same thing. It goes through objections that people have, and then it gives you the answers, how to answer them. The Vest Pocket Companion by R.A. Torrey. I don't know if we still sell it. I know we used to. And we might yet. I'm not sure. Now, I don't even know if you can get a hold of this next one, but it's by Chick Publications, and it's called The Last Call. And it's a large book. Well, not too large. It's not just one of their little tracts, but it's a large book more by Chick Publications called The Last Call. And it deals with the church and its responsibility to witness and so forth. It's quite good. In fact, you know what? I've got that. I may put that in with the library with the others. Maybe. I'll look at that. I'll think about that. If I don't write it down, I probably won't think about it. So I better write it down. Of course, none of you know what that means, or, you know, none of you have that problem, huh? I find so many times if I don't write it down, I don't remember it. And if I write it down, then I'm fairly safe. Even then, I'm not safe. Okay, another book by Torrey, R.A. Torrey, is called Personal Work. And here it gets into more of a teaching on personal evangelism. It's called Personal Work by R.A. Torrey. There's another book that is on the book counter that's really quite good. It's entitled How to Give Your Faith Away. How to Give Your Faith Away by Paul Little. L-I-T-T-L-E. And this again is, I'm not, you know, demanding any of these. These are all up to you whether you want to do it or not. Okay, now, what is the purpose of this class? What is the purpose of this class? Number one, to build a deeper love for and commitment to Jesus because you're saved. And number two is to build a deeper love for and commitment to souls because they're not. Thirdly, it's to build a knowledge of the Word of God, to be trained in the Scripture. And like Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is breathed of God. It's inspired of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we need to become equipped if we're going to be able to witness. Fourthly, the purpose of this class is to give you practical help as to when, where, and how to witness. Practical help as to when, where, and how to witness. Fifthly, the purpose of this class is to impart a larger vision. Impart a larger vision. Give us a bigger vision. Let me just say this, that this church, as far as its thrust, has not been primarily evangelistic. It just hasn't. It's been teaching. And evangelism is involved. And at different stages, we're more or less, you know, as far as the whole congregation, evangelizing. But we need a large vision because it's all going to build towards evangelism. And that's what the end result is going to be. This church is going to be imparting truth, you know, throughout the world. And we want that. We want that. And everybody has to have that heart. And so we want to impart a larger vision. And we are in an infancy stage. And everybody needs to be evangelizing now. If we lose that spirit, you know, you don't grow, you die. A church that is not evangelistic dies. Not only in numbers, but they also die in spirit. They really do. And when you're in the presence of God, you will have a heart for souls. Because you will love. You will love people. And you, because you love them, you don't want to see them go to hell. You don't want to see them go through things. Also, sixthly, this class is to motivate you to get God's heart. To motivate you to get God's heart and to become a friend of God. Become a friend of God. If you take away that heart, that doesn't matter what else you know. You're just not going to do the job. It just doesn't matter what else you know. You're just not going to do the job. So, we want to have that heart. I perceive that God is giving truth in this assembly, and He's wanting to bring it out to His people. But He can't let us have at it yet. We don't have enough love. To be put in a high place of ministry is going to require a high place of love. So, what is God doing with us right now? He's saying, you kids, learn how to love, will you? Learn how to love, and really love. I mean, really love. I don't mean just game of, because they're a community chapel, therefore we can get along with them. I mean love, love. So that if there's somebody who doesn't agree with you, who doesn't fit with your ideas, who offends you, you will love them. If they speak evil against you, you will love them. If they despitefully use you, you will love them. No matter who it is, saved or unsaved, you will love them. And you'll have a special love, you know, especially the household of faith. For those that are born again, though they might call you of the devil, if they're the children of God, they are your brother. Though they will not accept you, you have to accept them. And you can't bear the word of truth unless you have that loving attitude. You just can't. You know, like in Malachi 3, it says, the Lord will come and He will refine the sons of Levi that they may bear their vessel. They may bear an offering of righteousness in a purified vessel, you know, in righteousness. And God can't give us that message to bring out until we get the vessel purified so that it's born in a proper attitude. And you know, basically, the world out here views Christianity as being a bunch of legalists. Mm-hmm. Cold, hard, holier than thou, condemning them, legalists. There was an example. I read this. It's a cute joke. And there was this down south, you know, where, you know, Midwest or whatever, the Bible Belt, someplace. And here's unsaved Uncle Jim and saved Aunt Sally, And she has Sister Sue over. And so Sister Sue is talking to Aunt Sally. And they kind of got into a discussion about their spirituality. And they both felt like they were doing pretty good. And they were sort of comparing notes on how well they were doing with God and all of this. They're talking about their spirituality, you know. And they're both basically trying to prove they're a little more spiritual than the other one. You know, I'm afraid that Christians do that all too often, you know. And comparing notes and judging one another and kind of viewing one another and, you know, and doing it real sweetly to one another. And Uncle Jim is sitting there listening the whole time. Well, then Sister Sue leaves. And Aunt Sally, you know, she's there, and Sister Sue leaves, and she turns to Uncle Jim and she says, "You know, Sister Sue is really a sweet sister. I could tell she loves the Lord. But I just think that I'm just more spiritual than she is." And Uncle Jim is sitting there listening to that, you know, and he's smoking his pipe, strokes his chin a little bit, and he says, "Well, I don't think either one of you are crowding them any." "Oh, I know, I missed it." She says, Aunt Sally says, "I think I live closer to the Lord than Sister Sue." And Uncle Jim says, "I don't think either one of you are crowding them any." They can tell. They can sense that, you know. You come with carnal attitudes of, you know, comparing yourselves one to another. They see that. You come witnessing and with a bad spirit. They sense that. They pick that up. They can tell when a person really cares for them when they don't. You know? People can feel that. Kids feel that. Children feel that. You know, it's in us. We can tell when we're loved and when we're not. There's a phrase that I want you to know, and that's this. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And generally, isn't that the case? It generally really is the case. But they don't really care what you know until they know that you care. And then they'll listen to you. We need God's heart so that we can be sensitive when we witness. So that we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to say. The Holy Spirit knows what to say. He knows just how to say it. He wants to say it, and He wants to say it through you. And the way that'll happen is if you're sensitive to it. And so we must become sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we can really share His heart with those that are lost. So I would like you for this semester and for this class to put the past aside. Forget about your past. Forget about your successes or your failures. And begin to believe God to become a manifestation of His heart. And I'd also like you to just to begin to be bold. There are many situations where you could have witnessed or you could have not have witnessed. And if you would have witnessed, you know, it wouldn't have taken much more time. And it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And they're not going to kill you if you do. And you could have had all kinds of experiences witnessing now and maybe some more souls in the kingdom of heaven. Might as well just go ahead and step out and do it. Especially if they don't know you. They don't know that you're shy. As far as they know, you're bold. So be bold. You know, just step out. Just go ahead and just do it. And let me tell you the way to do it, and that is just love them. Get your eyes so much on them that you get it off yourself. And that's the key. That's the key. I'd also like you to be praying about this matter of evangelism. Expect God to make you His mouthpiece. Because He will. I'm not talking, you don't have to be like, you know, Jimmy Swaggart or anything like that. Just in your daily life, as you minister to people and share your heart, God's heart, with other people, other souls. Remember that experience is often the best teacher. Once you've got the basic information, experience is often the best teacher. And how are you going to get experience? You know, grocery lines and just, you know, out and about. We'll give you all kinds of practical tools to help you in this area. And above all, I'd like you to begin to look at souls in a new way. I'd like you to begin to look at souls in a new way. Instead of, oh, those heathen. We're the saved. They're the heathen. They're going to hell. Yeah, good riddance. Instead of kind of separating them from the human race, remember that they're just you before you were saved. How many of you have been saved less than a year? Anybody? One? And, you know, that would have been you less than a year ago. See, I mean, and for the rest of us, however many years you've been saved, that would have been you 3 years ago. That would have been you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. See? They're no different. That's you. An eternal soul with infinite value walking down the street. There was a brother that had a problem with evangelism, and he wanted to go out with this other brother who was really a good evangelist. And this good evangelist had the heart of God. He knew what this brother needed. So they went down to the South Center. And he says, here, why don't you just sit down for a little while and just watch. Just watch. Just look at all these people. So that guy over there, what's his life? What's he going through today? What's he experiencing? See that woman over there? Wonder what kind of a woman do you think she is? Wonder what she's going through. What are the hurts in her life? What are the pains? How many divorces has she gone through? So that young kid over there, punk rocker. Are they happy? What are they looking for? Why are they doing what they're doing? What's inside of them? What are they thinking? And they just sat there and just watched these people. And this says, oh, I've got to go witness. Here, I've got to go talk to that guy. He says, no, sit down. Just sit down. Just wait. Just watch. And so he watched all these people he wanted to talk to walk by. And he looked at all these lives. And I'll tell you, this thing stirred in him a permanent work. It changed his life. It really changed his life. Just by watching all these, and instead of just running out and doing, he was forced by this other guy to just sit and watch. Just watch. Think about those people. Think about their lives. They're just you. They've got lives just like you. They're not less of a human than you are. They've got a spirit just like you do. They've got an eternal soul just like you do. Eternal value just like you do. Maybe they don't talk your same language. They still have that same worth. You know? And that thing really stirred this brother, really affected his life. You know, you might do that yourself. Just go down and when you go somewhere, just sit down, just look at all these people and think about who they are. Don't just look at them. You probably won't get anything then, but think about who they are. You know, consider and weigh what they are. How does God look on them? How are they different from the plants that are there in those middle aisles? You know, here's something that's living. It's living. God created it too. How is that person different from this plant? See the value, the eternal value of that soul. And let that thing begin to dig deep. They begin to dig deep. It'll help you a whole lot. I mean, it'll help you a whole lot. All too often we go out like a little witnessing machine and we do our 5 steps, you know, or our 3 steps. And we forget what we're dealing with. We forget what we're dealing with. It's like the proverbial complaint of patients in a hospital. The doctor just treats me like a number. Although many doctors won't do that. But many doctors do. They kind of become specialists and they just treat it like a number. One sister shared with me a real sad situation of what we can become like. And there was she's a nurse, and there was a woman that had a deformed baby, horribly deformed. It couldn't live very long. Part of its brain was outside of its head, and just several things all messed up. And amazingly, the thing lived for about 8 hours. But the family was Catholic, and she got a chance to share the Lord with this woman. But she washed the baby, you know, and most of them said, "Don't look at your baby. Don't look at your baby, Mama. You don't want to see your baby." And what she did is she went ahead and washed the baby and kind of swallowed it in these clothes and covered everything so you could just see the parts that were okay, you know, like the eyes and the face and everything, but covered the head and covered, you know, from everything above the eyes, and just about all you could see was a little face here in this little bundle. And so she had this little baby. But the mama just wanted to see the baby. Just wanted to. She carried that thing for 9 months. And she loved it. She loved it. Didn't matter if it was deformed or not. And a Catholic priest was called in to give their last rites, you know, so that we sure it would go to heaven, you know, baptize it and all of that. And he came in, and where is it? You know, and the mother was within earshot. Where is it? Where's the thing? You know, didn't talk to the mother. No comfort. Just let me see it. Ugh. You know, just a response like that, you know. Sprinkled the water on it, said his thing, real dead and dry, and walked out. And here this, and this nurse here, this spirit-filled Christian, was watching this and just could hardly believe it. That put such a grief in her spirit. And she comforted the mother, you know, dealt with the mother, and the mother wanted to see the baby, and so she brought the baby into the mama. And she saw it, and she sat there for a while, and the nurse knew that, you know, that's the compassion of a mother. It's okay if she sees that baby. That love will cover. It's not going to be around that much longer anyway. And she slowly unwrapped it and looked at all the parts and just loved it. And they wept together, you know, shared hearts together. And she ministered the Lord to her. She said in less of a year later, she came back and had a beautiful baby.
And she got pregnant again and had a beautiful baby in less than a year. And she was there on that shift at the same time she had that baby. So she was there helping her deliver less than a year later. But that had really ministered healing to that woman's heart because she cared, you know. Even though the baby was so deformed, she loved that baby. Well, there's a lot of analogies here and spiritual principles that we can draw from this. You know, you want to love them no matter how deformed they are. And you want to show feeling and heart instead of like that Catholic priest. You want to see where people are. Now, some people would tend to think, well, she's just a Catholic. She's not even saved. She's a human being. Well, if she's not saved, then she needs all the more love. And that's the opportunity. That's how we win souls. Is when we reach out in love to people when they're in dire straits like that. You know, some feel like, well, you give food to the sick and the dying. All it does is just makes them live longer in their misery. Just let them die. You know, give them the gospel. You know, if you have a heart of compassion, you can't see somebody just suffer and not care. You got to give food. You got to help them, feed them, and then minister to them. Now, it's true, like on Skid Row, that's become kind of a shame, you know. It's kind of a sham. But there is an expression of love still going out in churches that give money to the missions. It's still a good work, you know. There's still something good there, if nothing else, a testimony. And we want to love the unlovely. We want to love them and care for them. Unsaved people need your love. They're real people. You know, your mom and dad. Think of somebody that's maybe in your family that's unsaved. They go through things just like you go through things. Sure, they don't have the Lord. Well, that's all the more reason for them to need your love to go through it. What am I talking about? I'm just talking about a compassionate heart. Just being willing to and open to see people what they really are, who they really are, and how they really need your love. We need to deal with people. And our evangelism becomes a cold, hard, dead, lifeless thing if it's just all relegated to this scripture sure convicts you, you know, you're going to hell and all of this, instead of dealing with them where they are and bringing them into a new realm, new place. How unfeeling and unthinking it was of that Catholic priest to come in there. Now, all Catholic priests wouldn't be like that either. This one was. And the whole system tends to make you like that. And so there's probably a whole lot more that are than aren't. And come in there and just not even consider the woman. No, not really consider her heart. And the others that felt like, no, don't see the child. Well, it's really up to her. And if she's got that kind of love, then go ahead and let her. We really need to be sensitive to people and where they are. There's so much to be said about it. We need to let the love of God consume us. God loves them.
Yeah.
And He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. He sends His blessings on the heathen and the godly. He does. And so we need to get His heart of concern so that we can care for them in a proper way. I know there was a legalism that used to really hurt me in evangelism, personal evangelism. In fact, I still find myself wanting to fall back in that somehow. And that is this: if you can't share the gospel, don't do anything at all. Because that's the most important thing. And it is the most important thing. But at the time, the most important thing, because you can't share the gospel, is something else. And especially if the person lives around you or is close to you, sometimes the most important thing is to be there when they have a need. To offer them, to help them, to be kind, to be friendly, to be sacrificial. You know, and we're so busy being spiritual that we really aren't spiritual.
so busy being spiritual that we don't represent the Spirit of God to them in a mundane way. Hey, I need some help. You know, your neighbor comes over. Could you help me do this mundane thing? You know, maybe help me lift my color TV into my house. You think, oh no, he's already got four of them. What's he doing with the fifth one? This guy's, ungodliness. I won't touch that ungodly thing. Sorry, it's against my religion. How have you helped? How have you helped? You haven't helped him. Help him take that TV into his house and just love him and just be there and minister to him. That could just change his life. That could save his soul. Right there. Because it opens him up to more of what you've got to say. Because of the good attitude. There are heathen that are much more courteous and kind than Christians. There are. And a sister was sharing with me the other day, and I tell you, I just felt so bad because I knew that I would have been in the same class of people she was talking about. But she shared when she first got saved that the Christian men she dated were not near as courteous and thoughtful as the heathen that she dated. And they were too spiritually minded to be any earthly good. You know, and I realized I would have been one of them. Because I felt like that was kind of, you know, when I first got saved, I wasn't even going to get married anyway. But I just kind of felt like, you know, all that is just too mundane. You know, all this civility. It's caring for people and what affects them. That's what it is. And I tell you, I know I hurt a lot of people when I first got saved. I really did. And see, we can do the same. We don't want to, though. Do you? You don't want to. Need to be more careful and manifest that love and find out that, you know, we are souls in bodies and so do soulical things in physical ways because they mean a lot. They mean a lot. And so personal evangelism, you know, is more than just the shouting on the street corner. It's a whole lot more than that. It's a whole lot more than that. It's living a life. That's what it is. It's living a life. Caring. Now, I know that when I first got saved, I reacted against something that I saw, and it was sort of the social evangelism mentality. And it's among many of the denominational churches, and it's the mentality that says that an ant is the greatest witness in the world, and it doesn't say anything, you know. And so their whole idea is feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all of that, and don't, you know, and then they don't say much about the gospel, and they don't pray for the sick, and they don't cast out demons, you know. Well, that's not it either. That's not it either. And I know the tendency is to go to the opposite extreme and not really have compassion on people where they are. We need to have compassion on people where they are. Praise the Lord. Let me just tell you one more thing. We've only got a couple minutes. But there's this certain person that has really blessed me in sharing some of the things that they have about this. But on their job, there's, you know, heathen around. And this person has just let the love of God come into their heart. And they have just fallen in love with these unsaved people. And no matter how hard they are, especially this one woman on the job, that's a woman's liver, and I shared this in the class, I guess, the other day, but this particular sister has just fallen in love with this person. And she just loves them. And she brings up the gospel when it comes up. And when there's opportunity, but she has never pushed anything on this person, just loves them. Helps them in the things that they do, and just is there as an encouragement, and is winning this soul. This soul is about ready to come across. This person has so changed already by the love manifested by this sister that they're about ready to get saved. They're on the verge of getting saved. I'm sure they're going to get saved. They have just about in, and they were about as far from it as could be. I mean, they represented the worldly, left-wing, rebellious, unsubmissive, ungodly, filthy life, filthy language, filthy mind. I mean, that's what they represented. Proud, arrogant. They're about ready to get saved because somebody loved them. And you know how they do it? They'd tell them, I love you. They'd hug them, and that about drove them nuts. You know, and of course not right away, but just as they began to know them, and just opened right up to them, and just showed care in their life, and asked them questions about themselves. And they kind of open up to some of the questions, and they'd climb out, hey, what are you doing? What are you asking me all this for? It's getting too personal. But they really liked it inside. But they wouldn't want to let on to it. They didn't want anybody to know that they had a need. They wanted to be hard, cold, independent, self-sufficient, see?
But as you love them and love them and love them, they start opening up to it because people need love. And to admit to it is a hard thing. But when you start getting it, it's hard to resist it. And so that's what's been happening in this person's life. And see, that's what we want to be. We want to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ and His love for them. He dealt with people where they were. He talked to that woman about water a long time before He talked about at the well, before He talked about the gospel. Mm-hmm. You thirsty? I'm thirsty. You know, and he opened into it. He broke down all the social barriers first. We'll talk about more of that later. I better let you go. So, thank you. God bless you.